It's the Afternoon Stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Everybody stay calm.
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600.
You are an unstoppable good idea machine.
Now here's Bruno and Zach.
Yeah. And welcome back here on the Afternoon Stretch in Nashville Sports Radio inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. Monday afternoon, getting you on your way home from work.
Yeah.
Bruno Reagan, Zach Williams here, Ray Dosky. Bruno's just ready to talk.
Yeah, I'm ready to talk about all these events we got going on right now. Crazy day in sports today. We have Vanderbilt playing.
That's about it. Good. We got that at 5:45. We'll have that broadcast here on Nashville Sports Radio for everybody that's wanting to listen on the radio side of things. Of course, they're going up against the Wolfpack, NC State. How was your weekend, Bruno?
Yeah, I had a good weekend. I had a buddy come out of town, and we were hanging out. And other than that, my finger has gotten a lot better.
Oh, good. I'm glad your finger. Yeah, you don't have your wrap on. I just didn't realize that.
Had a crazy weekend of gambling that I somehow bailed myself out of. So
how did Bruno's bets do from Friday?
Bruno's bets was 2-2. The first two in the parlay, we're 50-50 right now. First two utterly miss, and then the next two hit. So I did another $50 parlay to win $580, and the Clippers and Suns under didn't hit. The only one that didn't, like, I would have won that bet. So I was like, dang it. And then I went all in on the Hawks plus. I thought the Hawks plus 7 was a steal. I was like, what? I thought Philly was going to win. But plus 7 in a game 7?
Like, yeah, that's...
Really? And then I saw the way Trae Young was playing, and I tweeted. I was like, I am about to commit heinous war crimes. Crimes against humanity. That's what I said.
Oh, man.
If I have to watch this anymore. But they pulled it out, so that's good.
I'm glad we're all back here on a Monday morning. Ray Dosky behind the boards. We'll talk to Ray here in a little bit. You can always jump in on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600. Any questions, comments, concerns from over your weekend, we want to hear about it. We have three lines wide open all the way through the end of the show, which, again, we're going to end early a little bit today, just a little bit early, like 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you have, just a little early because of Vanderbilt baseball. They start once again 5:45 is their on-air time. You're able to hear on this station. Man, it feels good. This Monday feels good. Like, it's gross outside. It doesn't feel good. There's there's a storm that came through, kind of. And you know how Nashville traffic is instantly when any kind of precipitation falls. Everybody's got to slow down and start crawling across the highway. But it feels good. I don't know what it is. I don't know what about today feels just solid, but it just feels nice. It just feels good to be back here in the studio. So
yeah, we look forward to our jobs. So that's pretty cool.
That's good. That's a good solid thing you got to have there. Bruno got a new iPad that he's working with here.
Did the viewers hear that? Call in. Let me know if
they probably did hear that. Yeah,
I was opening up the stream to see how it works. I turned down all the audio, but it turns out I only turned down the ringer audio because apparently iPads ring. I've been debating. Listen, guys, and this is for anybody that works and travels a lot. I've been looking at different things. I had a MacBook. I spent like $2,200 on it about a year and a half ago, and that thing was just not. It wasn't what I was looking for.
Right.
It was more a pain in the butt than anything. So I was deciding between these new tablets, like mobile tablets that you can get keyboards for and stuff like that. If you have an iPhone, it is no doubt you should just suck it up. Buy the 8th generation of iPads because they're a lot cheaper. If you're spending $1,000 on those new iPads, you're out of your mind. But these, you can get these older ones for pretty cheap, and then you can get all the nice little doohickeys to make up with it. The Surface is just very weak. The Windows operating system on it doesn't support a ton of apps. I mean, if you're like an Excel god, so if you're working on, like, if you'd have a lame job and you're on Excel all the time.
Well, maybe they don't think it's lame.
They don't. But yeah.
Maybe some people want to be an accountant.
It's more of a dig. Me and my buddy were talking about it today at Chipotle. We were like, he knows this one guy who has a Surface, and he's literally the market for the Surface, which is like 0.1% of the population.
Yeah.
Just Excel freak.
Quarterbacks in the NFL. Yeah. That's the only time I see anyone using a Surface is Aaron Rodgers after he throws an interception and he throws his Surface down on the ground. That's the only time I ever see him.
But dude, if you already have Apple stuff, the iPad is just so it's very
Apple will suck you in.
Yeah, it's user interface friendly. It's super easy to set up.
I'm way too deep into Apple now, like, to ever consider changing anything. I've had iPhone since iPhone 4, So all my contacts, my music, all of that, it's all Apple. Everything's Apple. So if I ever try to do any, like if I ever even think about switching a cell phone to like a different kind of phone that's not iPhone, I wouldn't even know where to begin. How do I even transfer everything over?
I have a PC for gaming and that's about it. Like a very powerful like PC, but everything else like is work related and Apple just knocks it out of the park every time. They know how to market to an audience. I mean, the average man. And
they get pricey though, man.
Yeah, they do on their new stuff. That's why I don't buy the new stuff. I bought their new stuff one time with that MacBook and I was like, that was the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Even like the like a used iPad comparatively to like a used Surface, the price jump is
that's where I was surprised.
Incredible.
Well, that's where I was surprised. Well, because the new
you've got an Apple Pen. What?
Yeah.
What a douche.
I love the Pen. Well, no. You say douche, but here's the thing. Like, what am I always doing on air that you had to talk to me about? What am I always having in my mouth?
Oh, yeah, your candy.
I'm.
Or what are those called? They weren't candy.
I need something.
You
like,
try to write candy.
While I'm writing and I'm talking, I need something to flip, something to touch. That's how I was in football meetings all the time. That's how I am. This is just how I am. And this is the perfect tool to just literally just flim around and not consume aspartame 24/7. So whatever, if I can get my hands on something, I was like, this is
probably, it magnetizes to the iPad, doesn't it?
That's for the newer ones. This one, but I mean, my case has a little thing.
It has a little pencil holder on it.
Right. Yeah. So if I'm like tweeting or writing a story, I can just throw it up in there.
Can you like if you were going to tweet off the iPad right now, can you use your pen to like write in?
Yeah, I can just go, yo, and then it'll like it's actually really cool. So you like tap in the tweet bar and then the whole screen just becomes like a surface and you can just write in stuff.
See, this is my problem though with the new Apple. This is my problem with Apple in general, which we didn't plan to talk about Apple for the first 20 minutes
of the important show. It's an important thing in my life. All
the right? the thing that really pisses me off about it now is the charger situation. They've changed the dongles.
Yeah, it's all
it used
it's all
to be
business.
The USB.
Yeah, it's all business. So you have to go and buy their new extremely overpriced like doohickeys.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
It's so annoying. I have a million of like the USB, like USB 2.0, if anybody understands USBs. I have a million of those like little iPad part charging dongles. I have a million of them. But if you go to get a new one, those are now obsolete. Yep. Unless you get like an adapter piece. Which that's what all it is. It's a million different adapter pieces. And I get so upset at them. Ugh, so annoying. But, you know, hey, this is good for you. Since you just bought this, you get Apple TV for free for like a year.
That's what they said. But I never take advantage of that stuff.
You should do it. Why wouldn't
because
you?
Because I'll forget and it charges you. That's the whole scheme of it, right?
No. No. At the end of the year, it says, do you want to continue using it?
I'll look into
it. I mean, I guess there's probably.
But I watch TV.
You watch Netflix.
I have Netflix.
That's what I'm saying. But Apple it's just called Apple TV Plus. Like it's like movies and other like they have some. By the way, they have some of the best shows that are out right now.
I don't need it.
Ted Lasso. I know there's somebody watching or listening that has watched Ted Lasso. That is easily the best show out there right now of new TV shows. New TV shows. I'm not putting like The Sopranos or you know Breaking Bad or stuff like that in with that lump. But I'm talking like new current TV shows. Ted Lasso is like easily the best.
I don't need any of that stuff.
Apple TV. Gosh. It's free! This guy gets an iPad.
Just he's like, because I can't you take get free thing. Stuff doesn't mean I want the free stuff. That's like giving me a free parachute. Like, I throw it away. What do I need with that, you know?
You might need a parachute at one point.
Never.
Who knows?
I'll never be that high.
Ray Dosky, how are you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. Sounds like Bruno's not a hoarder. He doesn't want any free
you
stuff.
You should see where I live. It's nothing.
I don't want any free stuff at all.
If you have coffee makers, toasters, blenders, send it my way. I like messing around with that stuff.
Messing around. What are you building a bomb or something?
I just like the way like if you like how a blender can make the difference in. I want to know the difference between like a super expensive blender and like the average ones. I have those $30 ones you can find at Kroger, right? I want someone to send me one that's like 100 and I can put the same stuff in and see if it's worth it or not.
He's a myth buster.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. A price checker. My wife hates our blender. She uses it every single day. She makes smoothies and whatever, and she hates our blender. It's an old like Hamilton Beach cheap one. Like it's like one that you would find at like Ollie's or something like that.
I need to get a...
It's not good, so yeah. At least she says it isn't. She wants the ninja blender or whatever. Which I don't know I she's apparently looked at a bunch of blenders. I don't think I've used one blender one time outside of like making margaritas.
My whole housing situation is just it's a funny adventure right now. Hopefully by like this time next year it'll be different. But it's not like I'm like suffering. I think it's just cool. It's cool in the meantime. But when I do hang out at my friend's apartment, I'm like, dang man, you have a real kitchen.
You know? Amenities. Yeah, you enjoy the amenities.
But I'm hardly ever, I'm just home at the end of the day, you know?
Right.
I'm home for like an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
I talk a lot about being a degenerate, and that's some days, but for the most part, I'm here in Nashville. I live in Clarksville, so I just kind of hang out in Nashville.
Oh, man. Ray, Ray's got a butler at his house. He doesn't have to worry about anything. I've seen the way he lives. He has the high life that he lives.
I do not have a high life. Whoever's telling you that, taking you for a long ride.
How was your weekend, buddy?
Good, man. Good.
What did we do in the Ray household?
Yeah, we had a wedding to attend on Saturday night. It was pretty fun.
I hate weddings, bro. Yeah. Everybody happy is stupid. Yeah. I'm just kidding. What?
Jeez.
I'm just kidding. Weddings, they ask a lot out of you. You know, yeah. If I could just show up and just be like, hey, congrats.
Majority of it. What does a wedding ask
you? It's a whole day of my weekend, you know? Not including travel. Like, I mean, like, hey, come to my wedding. We're in Los Angeles. Like, you grew up in Nashville. I'm not flying out to Los Angeles for a wedding.
No, that's too much. But if you're just going, you didn't fly to it, right, Ray? You didn't.
The wedding?
Yeah, you didn't fly.
No, it's 2 miles up. It was 2 miles up the street.
How long were you there?
So I was here Saturday night doing the Vandy game.
Mm-hmm.
I did the first hour and a half. And then Bobby came in. He kind of covered for me. And then
Bobby
I went
part-time,
up there,
as we know on the show.
He came and covered for me for about 3 hours. And then I came back because I was like, holy crap. Like, it's the top of the 11th. It's 6 all. And it's like 11 o'clock. We got done in the wedding. And Bobby's like, I got to get back, whatever. So I was like, I'm going to come back here. And I kind of close shop. And then, yeah, that was about it. I was only there for maybe about three and a half
hours. I've never been to a wedding, that except for my own, that took all day. Yeah. Which mine was... You know, you're there when you're doing the wedding. You have to be a part of it. Other than that, I've never been at a wedding that took all day. Now, I've also never flown to a wedding. I guess if you're flying to a wedding to go do that, that probably is your whole day trip. But weddings, I don't know. Do they really ask all that much out of you?
Well,
Curtis, show up
when your friends are pro football players, I guess, like, you know, they move out everywhere and then they have all the money to do whatever they want. So it's kind of like,
I would say you guys have never attended a Curtis wedding.
No,
that thing is like.
What's different about a Kurdish wedding?
It's like nonstop dancing right when you first set in foot, like in wherever the place is at. And
what kind of dancing?
It's a lot like
pop
like,
and lock.
No, it's a lot like Greek dancing where like lines and like big crowds and stuff like that. So line dancing and stuff like that. It's different styles, independent dancing. It's just wilding out. It's just partying. It's for like hours and hours.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been to a Turkish wedding.
Turkish wedding, huh?
Or sorry, Kurdish wedding. Kurdish.
I've never been to a Turkish wedding either.
The Kurdish are going to be mad at you for that one, bro. Jeez.
I did not mean to say it that way. I apologize.
No worries. No offense taken. No, but yeah, and it's just like it's nonstop. And then, of course, you have your dead time to have like, you know, snacks, drinks, you know, dinner. And then.
Well, it's all about the snacks and drinks.
I want my wedding to be an absolute just. Like degeneracy fest. Like, I mean, just people. Like, I saw this one video of this Mexican like wedding on Twitter, and like it was like 10 people were holding the groom, and they were just like pouring beer all over him, like they were waterboarding him with beer. And I was like, that's awesome.
That's
what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Like, that's a wedding. You
that
know?
Sounds like a Battlehawks wedding. Right? That because your Battlehawks were the ones that were all the
yeah, to celebrate. We got fined like $10,000 after our first game.
Y'all got fined for that?
$10,000, yeah.
That's for the team, though. Like, the players didn't get the fine.
We paid it out. I'm just kidding. It was the team, and they came out
still paying it off.
It was the team, and they came up to the coach came up to us during the meeting. He was like, y'all got fined $10,000 for that. Celebration.
Oh, I'm sorry, XFL, for the millions and millions of views that it got on social media and got you more publicity.
It's funny because I did a Reddit AMA for the XFL, and like one of the top execs, I saw him around a few of the games, was on there too, and I was like, yeah, they didn't care that, you know, we ruined the locker room. It was a good like thing. And the guy messaged me, he was like, we cared, buddy, we cared. I was like, well, in the grander scheme of things, they don't care that you cared, you know.
Yeah,
it was about this.
It's silly because I always wonder about these kind of things. Like, we talked about steroids a ton on this show, and baseball hates steroids, right?
What? But
they will not, and they don't want to give, they will not put Barry Bonds, they won't give Mark McGwire the recognition, Jose Canseco, he doesn't really deserve it, he just kind of was a big part of that, but Sammy Sosa, Clemens, all those guys. But will they give one advertising dollar back to all those advertisers that like showed up and spent millions of dollars during those summers back when McGuire and Sosa were in the home run race and all those? No. They're never going to do that. So, will the XFL ever give a dollar back to anybody who advertised with XFL because of the y'all were chugging Bud Light seltzers?
That was the funniest part of the whole thing. Everyone, when it first happened, everyone was like, seltzers? And then, you know, it just caught on so fast. People were like, dude, this is
People heard about hilarious. It through those videos.
Yeah.
That was
Bud Light Seltzer's greatest advertising like move they could have ever done.
Yeah, and they didn't plan it. It was something that was actually organic, right?
Dude, the other teams were trying to do the celebrations, and they were awful.
Yeah.
Like, Houston's kicker, like, long snapper, like, long snapped the beer and then kicked it and then drank. Like, you're specialists. Go home. Like, we don't care, dude.
Who started it?
Taylor Heinicke and Nick Fitzgerald. Both of our quarterbacks that weren't Jordan Te'amu. Nick popped it off his head and did some Mississippi State toothpick on it to chug it. And then Taylor, Stone Cold Steve Austin'd it. And yeah, and ever since then, like, just legendary.
That's terrific. Yeah, that's so crazy they would find that because they got so many more viewers. They got so many more people paying attention.
It was the stadium that fined the XFL, which in turn fined the Battle Hawks organization.
Oh, well, yeah, true. All right, so I didn't expect to talk about what we talked about here, but that's how the show goes sometimes, baby. That's how the show goes.
That's how it goes every day, so get used to it.
Monday through Friday, 4 to 6, this is what we do. This is just a talk-a-thon. I want to hear from y'all.
It could be worse, and I'm not going to name names for the sake of you. I know you don't like that, but I was listening to the radio this morning on the way, always trying to perfect my craft, as always. You know, I'm a perfectionist. And it's just like, what's going on today? You know, there's a Vandy game. I guess that's their discussion on air. Like,
yeah.
Come on! No. Come on!
No. We're going to talk Vandy. We're going to talk different sports, but, you know, it's just, we're hanging out. That's all this is.
Liking the jersey, man. I'm liking the jersey.
Oh, yeah, I've got my Vandy. Yeah. I don't know if the camera can see it. That. I got my Vandy.
It's the grain gold. I love the grain gold.
I think it's solid. I have tons of, like, different color jerseys. Like, it's like, I thought about getting the black. If anybody watching, Vandy fan, whatever, can get me the navy American flag Vanderbilt jersey. Oh,
that's big bucks right there.
That I will pay big bucks.
Yeah, it's worth it. Yeah.
I can't find it. I wish I've been really close to calling Tim Corbin myself and being like, hey, we need to figure this out because I need this jersey. I need it real bad.
And I'm the one who has the butler. Okay.
I'm just saying.
No, that jersey is the best jersey in baseball. Hands down. Yeah. And you go to all these little travel... I know a lot of people do the travel league baseball and everything. You go to all those travel teams, those little league teams and all that, they're all copying that jersey. They're all... That's what it is. It's like they have the flag in the wave underneath Vandy and then whatever their team name is, you know, the Pirates or whatever it is. They have it with that color scheme. The best jersey in all of sports. I'm willing to say all of sports. Not just baseball, but all of sports. That is an amazing jersey. Amazing.
Patriotic.
Patriotic, it's just perfect.
But not over the top.
It's not over the... Exactly. It's subtleties. Subtleties.
But people might argue because it's not Vandy's colors that it kind of takes away from it, you know?
If anyone argues against red, white, and blue, the stars and stripes, you're not an American.
But then, you know, I guess every team can be allowed to do red, white, and blue?
Technically, they can, but you gotta do it the right way. Yeah. Like, I'll say, like, who's the Wizards? They have those American flags. Jerseys, which they do, once again, it's subtle, but they do it with gray, and gray is not a great color to do colors with. I don't understand why people do that, but they do it down the side. That looks okay, but see, they miss on using the flag. You got to use the flag properly. You have to use the flag properly inside of the jersey scheme. It's got to go with the right colors. Vandy does it amazingly. All right, we got to take a break. Before we go into that break, though, you know, we'll talk about our friends over at Slim Chickens, located in Mount Juliet, Murfreesboro, and Hendersonville. If you haven't tried out these new Chicken Select sandwiches, I'm telling you, you are missing out. Go try them. But before you do that, download the Slim Chickens app on your phone so that way you can skip the line. Skip the line. You can just show up, order it, have it come right to your car side, and then you drive off. I'm telling you, it'll save you so much time and energy as you just download that Slim Chickens app. Again, located in Mount Juliet, Murfreesboro, and Hendersonville. Slim Chickens, wings, tenders, and more.
Good afternoon.
The traffic still limping along here as people rubberneck driving by this stalled truck up against the wall on 40 eastbound near Stewart's Ferry Pike out here in the Hermitage area. Again, traffic's already heavy enough in this area on 40 east on the traffic headed back out towards Mount Juliet. Crazy weather in our area this afternoon. Give yourself plenty of extra travel time. Please use caution and common sense. True Friends Moving Company is now hiring. You can call them right now at 240-2811. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
NBA playoffs are here, and you're going to be in Hoops Heaven betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. So many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level because new and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. That means you can combine multiple bets for an even bigger win. Now, here's some examples. The money line, first basket score, blocks, all of that. And if you don't win, you get up to $10 back. Now's the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up. BKING as the promo code on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnerLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnerWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
This July 4th at Lowe's, get $10 off 1 gallon cans or $40 off 5 gallon pails on select interior and exterior paints, stains, and coatings via Lowe's gift card rebate. And with everyday appliance savings, save up to $750 now on select major appliances. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Actual size 110 to 640 fluid ounces. Rebate not valid with other discounts. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details. Savings instant in select stores. Exclusions apply. U.S. only. Payment pricing valid through 6/30. In store must ask cashier to apply coupon. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Can't be combined with additional discounts. Valid through 7/14.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast throughout the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms, gusty winds up to 25 miles per hour, temperatures mid-80s. And showers and thunderstorms continue tonight at an 80% chance, lows drop to near 60. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio
Nick on Facebook says, happy Monday. Only reason Mondays are good. I agree, Nick. Welcome back into the afternoon stretch. Bruno Reagan, Zach Williams, Ray Dosky. Congratulations, Nick, by the way.
Yes.
Married man on Saturday, I believe, yes, is what he told us.
Good for you, Nick.
Absolutely.
I hope you didn't have your wedding somewhere really far away.
Hopefully it didn't take all day. Otherwise, Bruno's not showing up.
I would show up.
If Nick invited you to the wedding and it was like, I don't know, let's just say, Nick, I know he lives in Missouri. I know that. He's in Missouri, but let's just say it's in Mount Juliet. You going?
To be honest, Nick, if you invited me to your wedding, like I love your interaction with the show, but I don't know you, man. Like, I wouldn't go to your wedding. That'd be weird. But we can all be friends here.
And then also, more good news today. Congratulations to Bruno, as he is now officially a purple belt.
A purple belt. What that means in jiu-jitsu is basically the average person takes like, what, three to five years, depending how old and how much you do it, to get your purple belt. I got mine today. Yeah, it's just the next level. Belts in order go white, blue, purple, brown, black. So hopefully I
get it. Is there not an orange?
No, that's judo.
Okay. Yeah.
So you'll see some of my guys wearing orange belts, but in jiu-jitsu, it's just white, blue, purple, brown, black. Got my purple belt today. I'll get beat up for it sometime down the road. Yeah.
How do they beat you up? What is it? What's the, like,
so you do
it's
start,
like a gang initiation?
It's different. It's different. I mean, basically, that's why people criticize BJJ for like cultish activity or whatever. But I mean, to me, it's just tradition. I've done it for multiple things, and I'm proud to do it. Shark Tank, just, you go in there 20 minutes, you get beat up. I mean, it's extremely exhausting. And by the end of it, you can hardly move, especially when you're as big as me. And then you get the lashings, and
yep.
A lot of people our coach is afraid to like do it in front of people and stuff like that. He'll only ask those that have done it and will mm-hmm. do it to stay inside and, you know, not record it. But I'm gonna record mine and post it.
Content. You got to do it for content.
No, and it doesn't like the belt, because the belts make such an egregious sound. It like seems terrible, mm-hmm. but it's really not bad. No. Unless someone whacks you in the head. If there's some dumb whacking you in the head or the stomach, like where you can actually get damaged, like. My whole team's done it, been there. They're all cool with it. I did it for my blue belt, and it was nothing. Mm. I mean, they were laying into me as hard as they could.
Yep. So. Well, I'm excited to see that video whenever that comes out.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, I'm sure we'll get it done within the month. So that's gonna suck, but it is what it is.
So over the weekend, of course, we talked about it a little bit. The Vandy boys are moving on in the College World Series.
That was a scary game. That was a scary one.
You know what? Everybody was worried. Kumar Rocker versus the big bats, right? Big pitching versus big bats, and really,
I was telling you, you were like, you were, before the College World Series, you were like, I'm worried about the pitching. And then we got there, and I was like, yeah. And then I was like, all right, be worried about the bats now. And you were like, nah, Kumar's on his stuff. And I'm like,
he was on his stuff.
But you're not gonna go through the whole College World Series throwing shutouts. True. You know, they're gonna hit bats.
True, and that's the thing. And I think this is a win. Really, once you get to this point. In any kind of tournament play, whether it's baseball, basketball, whatever, whenever you're near the playoffs or whatever, any kind of win is what you want.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's a win.
I mean, Vanderbilt fans were having a meltdown on Twitter, to be honest. Like, they were like, oh, this is over. This sucks. You know, we don't deserve to be here. You know, turn around, and by the end of it, you know, we're winning the game.
Right.
Didn't hit my bet. And I had Vanderbilt winning by two or more. They walked off it with one run, which once they hit overtime, you know, I assumed would happen. But still, Commodores advancing. I'll gladly eat the bullet for that.
Yeah, they played well. They played well enough to win. I mean, it wasn't the Vandy game you expected. I mean, to me, or at least I didn't expect it. I expected a whole lot more in the way of
Arizona's an extremely good team.
They are, man. They are a really good team, and whoever,
now they're getting boat raced by Stanford.
But. Yeah, Stanford destroyed them. I think is that one over? I don't
14
know
if, to 5 at the top of the ninth.
Yeah, so it's over. Yeah. It should have been over a while ago. But Vandy fans might have been a little upset. They were glad they ended up winning. But yeah, then they get the real that real sweet. If you're a Vanderbilt person, if you're a Vandy fan, you know the one thing that could bounce you back from any kind of mistrial, any kind of misstep by Vanderbilt is watching Tennessee get absolutely obliterated.
They were getting boat race as well. The thing with the Vanderbilt game that I think everyone was upset about was how many pitches Kumar Rocker had to go through in his first. I mean, the first two innings were just like, God, we can't get this guy off the mound. You know,
yeah.
Pitchers that were, you know, coming into the sixth and seventh were having the same pitch count as Kumar in the second. Like, it was absurd, right?
Yeah.
So that was the thing everyone was, you know, scared about. They're like, oh my God, now once we get to the bullpen, we're done. But edged it out. Tennessee did not edge it out. I mean, they were just errors on errors and base hits on base hits. Just, you know, like, what can you do? Sometimes they hit the ball really well and you lose the game. That's why Omaha's a double elimination style tournament. But
they did look really bad. And look, they, you know,
all the SEC teams.
Congrats, they got to them. You know, congrats, they got there. But if you're looking at this whole thing of Vandy versus Tennessee baseball, everybody was trying to get it. Of course, we can all talk about Tennessee baseball fans. Like, Tennessee fans are more than Vandy fans. Like, we can agree on that. There are more Tennessee Vols fans than there are Vandy fans in the world, and really just in the state of Tennessee. But they tried to take over in this world of baseball, which is owned by Tim Corbin and the Vandy boys. And then you see the first play of the College World Series for the Vols. They just clearly didn't look like they belonged there.
I mean, we're talking...
Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. You can always say that a team looks like they don't belong there, but if you're there, you belong there. They won their regionals. You're playing against the best of the best, and if you have even an off day, like, you're going to get taken advantage of, and it's going to look bad, but this Tennessee team was smoked most teams in the country. The Vanderbilt team was smoking most teams in the country, you know, outside of, like, the Kentucky series at the end, maybe, like, where the pitching looked awful, but other than that, like, these teams deserve to be here in Omaha. And that's why it's a double elimination. You'll have a chance to bounce back. You have one bad game. I mean, we've seen Vanderbilt just lay an egg this season, and yeah. they've bounced back. Tennessee can do the same thing. Vanderbilt is basically in what would be considered the semifinal, right?
Yeah, I don't know what they give the actual like name to it now, but yeah, they move up. They're in the winner's bracket now of the College World Series, what I think it technically would be.
So it's in the winner's in the winner's side, it's Mississippi State and Virginia,
yep.
And it's Tennessee or Vanderbilt and NC State. So if Vanderbilt wins this one, so this is basically like a winner quarterfinal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they would go to win to play against who I believe of the losers bracket, if I'm correct. I don't have the bracket in front of me right now, but
Omaha is still confused me. I'm not too. I tried looking at the whole bracket in its entirety and
yeah,
trying to figure it out. As
it's always fun trying to find the brackets. But Tennessee's going to play Texas, so we'll have the battle of the real UT tomorrow at 2:00. They'll play in the losers bracket, and then tomorrow Mississippi State, Virginia, and of course later on today Vanderbilt versus NC State. NC State's no team to scoff at as well. I mean, really, once like, kind of what you said, once you get in this, you're in it. You're a big part of this team at any game you have a chance, and just because they've earned the right to get here. So I don't know. I still it's Vanderbilt going up against whoever. I don't care. You still put them up. It's going to be Leiter on the mound, I'm assuming. I haven't seen the official come across, but I know Leiter's been the two basically every single series going forward. If Leiter's on the bump, you have a humongous chance of a no-hitter, let alone a Vanderbilt win. So my money's going on Vanderbilt for sure.
Yeah, Vanderbilt's the -220 favorite right now. That is basically a double over NC State. I mean, their records are... NC State's around 36 wins. I know that record.
36-18.
Yeah, SEC was an extremely tough division this year. I mean, if you're betting money, I would stay away from this game because it's one of those games where it just doesn't give you any value. Vanderbilt's a heavy favorite, and if they do lose, you know, which is very unlikely. It's just a lose-lose in most situations. But right. I would expect Vanderbilt to at least, you know, fix up the. And you think a Tim Corbin coach Vanderbilt's not going to fix up those errors? You know, they're gonna get on base. They're gonna steal, and then they're gonna aim to get those RBIs home. I mean, that's their game plan. They'll get runs in. It's NC State's or it's Vanderbilt's game to win.
So it looks like Vanderbilt is waiting to find out who they would play if they get past NC State right now, because I think it depends on the wins losses. So Stanford and Arizona are going up, but I think if it looks like Arizona's going to lose, Stanford's going to move up into the next bracket, and then that would be the second loss for Arizona. So Stanford would have nobody to play. Well, they would play whoever loses to Vanderbilt, NC State.
Stanford would play. Yeah, it's the losers bracket.
Yeah, so then
and we Vanderbilt, would play the winner of Mississippi of whoever, State in Virginia in the winners bracket.
No, because they're in bracket two. So Vanderbilt's in bracket one. So
I got it.
Yeah, okay. They have the brackets separated. So, and then your bracket one and two winners are who end up playing the national championship.
So if one of those bracket winners has a loss, then the other one just needs to win one game to win the series.
Right. Okay. Exactly. That's essentially what right now. So Stanford, Arizona, say Stanford's going to win that one. We already saw that coming. Basically, Vanderbilt wins against NC State, then Stanford just has to lose once because they've already lost.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Then that they'll go on to play whoever, you know, if necessary. Those games are if necessary. But Vanderbilt could essentially lock up playing in the bracket court semifinal.
That's basically the College World Series semifinals. If they beat NC State, they're in the semifinal.
Yes.
And they have a game advantage over the other team.
Yeah. And then so bracket two is the other way here. So Tennessee against Texas, if whoever wins that is going to play the winner of Mississippi State and Virginia. And... you know, then depending on who wins that game, if Tennessee loses again, then they're out. They're just done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for anybody who wasn't as caught up, like me and Bruno clearly were on the bracket.
Yeah. And most of our viewers are like Vanderbilt. So they've been here before.
Oh,
they're
no.
Probably like, what the heck are these guys talking about? But for the average viewer, they needed to hear this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what is that like the been there, done that as a player? For Vanderbilt, like Tim Corbin and the Vandy boys, that they've been in, not maybe not that team exactly.
Yeah, it's not even this specific team. They're all young
Rocker
guys.
Has, because he was on the 2019. Leiter wasn't there. I'm trying to think. There's a couple guys that have been there, but they weren't the starters, so to say, at that time in 2019. But for Corbin and that coaching staff going forward, what is the mentality like when you get up in a close game or whatever, but knowing that you've basically seen every situation beforehand?
Yeah, I mean they've been in the final and they've edged out 2-1. They've lost 2-1. They made mistakes that cost them a national championship. They've been bounced out in early regional. I mean the team and the staff have been in every possible situation in a playoff baseball scenario. So the fact that they're ahead is actually a really scary thing. Vanderbilt, they seem like, you know, a very forward, like if they have the momentum, they're unstoppable, right? And they have the momentum right now. They just overcame adversity once. You know, now they might be in their groove again. Like they found adversity, they overcame it, and now they know they're back to, you know, their winning ways of baseball. They got all the jitters out, basically. Yeah. That's what I'd be expecting. I'm expecting Vanderbilt to come out and just, you know, NC State could also just hit the ball really well and put him in a bad spot early. But I would expect Vanderbilt just to, you know, they found their way. You know,
right.
They're ready to go. Right. It's a lot of isms to it, but I mean that's the human aspect of sports. That's just the human element of it.
Nick on Facebook asks, with Vandy being the favorite, what team do you feel like gives them the most fits?
Probably Mississippi State or Virginia, just from a historical standpoint, Virginia. But
right.
But the strongest team out there on the other side is probably Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about a team that's seen them the most this year, right? Like, that actually has most in-game play. I said it from the beginning of this season. That I think Tennessee, just the way they match up on their rotation versus Vandy's hitting and vice versa, hitting versus Vandy's rotation, I think they've matched up the best than anybody else. And when we saw them play in that series earlier this season, you know, that was a mixed bag.
Also for the mental aspect, I mean, that's the one sport where Tennessee can probably feel like they're the little brother to Vanderbilt, and that, you know, that's where they have something to prove. Like,
Being the little brother?
Yeah.
It's different, right? When you played that game.
The Tennessee games meant a lot more to me. Like, I wanted to stick it to them because Tennessee was, like, the flagship program of the state. So, you know, it means more.
And yeah.
It's not supposed to as a competitor, but it does.
Does that make you play better, you think?
It made me still play extremely, extremely hard even when we were down 21, which I like to think I always do. Like, I always do my job. I always played hard. But, I mean, it felt like everybody was doing it when it was Tennessee. Like, when Alabama was up 21 in the first quarter, we were, you know, a lot of the guys quit. That was just straight up what happened. When it happened with Tennessee, the guys were like, we can still do it. Let's go. You know? which has something to say about the success of our teams, but that's just how it is.
Yeah.
So a team like Tennessee might, you know, if they match up with Vanderbilt, they're going to have to win their side of the bracket, though. And they're already on the losing side. So it's going to be a tough road for them.
Yeah. But I think you're right. Virginia historically, Mississippi State, just because they kind of seen each other so far. I don't really know. Vanderbilt, I mean, I said at the beginning of it too, it's Vanderbilt versus the field. Like, no matter who they're playing, anybody can beat Vanderbilt. That is a truth that we've seen this season. But Vanderbilt can beat anyone.
Yeah.
If Vanderbilt is on, they are the most unstoppable team. I mean, it really is. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, you have to equate this to what Alabama football fans feel like. There's no stopping. There's no, when they're on, it's the best game on turf. That's just what you're going to have to deal with. And so I don't know if I could say so much that, you know, yeah, for sure, there's a team that's going to give them the most fits. But any team has the opportunity to beat them. It's just that they can catch them. Arizona had a chance, but. You know, now you look at Arizona, I wonder, does that make it look worse for Vanderbilt now watching Arizona get destroyed by Stanford?
No, different game.
It's just different game. Just you just got to kind of forget about it. It's not comparable.
I mean, it was Vanderbilt's errors. Kumar's slider wasn't sliding how it was supposed to in that first inning. That's why a lot of the hits, the pitch count. I mean, if anything, I think it's impressive on Vanderbilt. They faced adversity and they just didn't crumble under it. You know, they kept chipping
away.
Even
when they looked bad, they found a way to win.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I think that says more than Arizona. Just because once you get in that loser side, you know, sometimes some players are just like, you know, are we really going to run a four-way win streak to the final? You know, it does take a toll on your team when you hit that loss.
Yeah. Yeah. I think once again, that goes back to Corbs, just the been there, done that mentality for Tim Corbin that he just knows those kids. He knows those kids so well. And when I say those kids, insert any kid. It doesn't matter. He just knows that age group. He knows how to get those kind of guys in the winning shape, and that even when they're playing bad, they're still going to show up. Seabass has a question on Facebook. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to ask that question over to Bruno, as well as Ray, who's over there, wondering if he might have an answer on this one too. Remember, if you have a question or comment or concern, always you can call in on the F&M Bank Phone line 615-844-5600 on that number. Or you could do like Nick and Seabass have done and comment on the Facebook Live on Nashville Sports Radio there on the Premier Fitness Source video feed. We'll take a break. Back after this right here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. This truck's still up against the wall in a tricky spot out here on 40 eastbound, just up from Stewart's Ferry Pike. There's just so much traffic volume. Trying to get by the situation here on 40 eastbound, headed out towards Wilson County, towards Mount Juliet. 300 block of Chute Lane, that's a wreck being dispatched right now through the fire department. 500 block of Hicks Road, that's going to be on the west side. That involving injury as well. True Friends Moving Company is hiring. Call 240-2811. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Former Titans coach Jeff Fisher.
Who's grumpy this morning?
Coach, I'm not grumpy.
John, I mean, hey, John.
Yeah.
Pull your head out of your butt. Get yourself in a better mood.
I'll do my best, Coach. Thanks for the pep talk.
Okay.
You just made a promo for him.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio. WNSR.
And welcome back here on the Afternoon Stretch inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. Always, always, the phone lines open, 615-844-5600. That is the F&M Bank phone lines. Seabass asked, who gets drafted first, Rocker or Leiter?
Probably Leiter. People are predicting a Leiter. People have been having this conversation for a while. Seabass, I know you know Chris, so you probably talked with him behind the scenes.
Chris Lee.
Yeah, Chris Lee. So I think Chris Lee, my pseudo boss. So I think the whole baseball community has been thinking Leiter 2, Kumar 3. I don't even know who the one is, but I've just been seeing stories about the two and the duo and how I think Leiter goes first and then Kumar goes after. That was the early discourse on the season that I remember seeing. Sources.
Wait, you
trust
said
me,
Leiter, Leiter goes
Leiter
first. Over,
first yeah.
Wow. I think Kumar. I mean, because like if I'm a team drafting.
Well, Kumar just has that slider, right? Whereas Leiter might have a more well-rounded pitching.
Well, it's if you look about in a one-game difference, maybe you could say that difference. But if you're talking about the MLB and how they're going to use a rotation, and you're talking about MLB-ready guys, which a lot of these guys are going to go AAA, AA, that sort of thing. If you're talking about it from that standpoint, then Rocker is the guy you want. I think Rocker is the more MLB-ready pitcher comparatively to Leiter. Just because.
But those drafts, you know, sometimes it's not about who's ready. Sometimes it's just about, you know, the potential.
For sure. But I think, I mean, if you're talking about somebody who can go Leiter this year, his body just couldn't stand the amount of usage. And Corbin talked about it, the injuries that we saw. It wasn't that, you know, he was weaker. And it was just, this is a demanding pitching schedule that they have. And he's still a young guy, and he's still trying to build that strength up and that durability up. Rocker has it. No question, Rocker has it.
Yeah, Rocker could play DN for the football team.
He's a monster physically. And so I think if you're talking about big moment ready guy, MLB ready guy. Rock, in my mind, Rocker's the guy. I think Rocker gets drafted first.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Rocker. And the funny thing is,
terrific
I know,
name for baseball too, by the way, yeah. to be a pitcher, Rocker.
Funny thing is I know the Seabass probably knows the answer to that. He just wanted to hear me flounder around about it.
Right. No, for
I love Seabass.
Who do you think gets drafted, Ray? Get drafted first. I mean, they're both going to get drafted no matter what.
I think it's time, Ray.
No, I think it's Rocker, but I think it's like, it's so close.
Yeah.
I mean, interchangeable.
It could literally be pick two, pick three.
Yeah.
Pick one. Well, point, actually, I mean, it could be pick one, pick two.
Doesn't matter at that point. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. They're going to be studs in the MLB.
These guys are not going to be first overall, either one, right?
Apparently, that's like not the case. Mm. But source, trust me, bro, again.
Yeah.
Because I was seeing a lot of discourse on who's going two, who's going three, might be three and four. But I never saw anyone mention one. Possible. I don't know.
I don't
know.
They could, as any other player. I mean, there's a couple guys out there. I know Texas has a guy that is solid that could go. So, I mean, there's I don't know. I think if you're going to say anybody looking for a starting pitcher, why would you not want to pull from Vanderbilt? Just look at their ever heard of David Price?
I don't know, Seabass. Is that what you wanted to hear? I don't know.
I'm scared. Is that what you want me to say? I'm scared. Oh, man. They're just monsters. But then you look at Kyle Wright over there at Atlanta. They thought he was ready early, and Kyle Wright just kind of fell off pretty quick. Now he's over there with the Gwinnett Stripers or whatever they call themselves this year. So
that's possible. A brutal world, man. Baseball, pro baseball is a brutal world.
Yeah, especially when you get down to the minors.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
That could be, like I said. Those single A, double A teams, man, that they have no kind
of... You feel like you're in baseball dystopia.
Yes. And you know what? They do. I've talked to those guys being at UTC, the Chattanooga Lookouts out there. I've interviewed a lot of them or just seen them at bars, that sort of thing, hanging out, because a lot of them are kind of the same age as what we were at college at that time. And they would talk about it. They're like, yeah, I play baseball. I'm a professional baseball player, but it's not like, you know, they almost say it with this weird, like, I've been in double A or triple A now for 5 years, and I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I hadn't even got called up one time to the MLB, so I don't know.
Dude, some guys will have like 7 or 8 year like careers in the minor league level.
Yeah.
There's a great YouTube video. The guy's name is Eric Sim on YouTube. If you type in minor league pay /MLB draft, it'll pop up an amazing YouTube video of this guy talking about his time from like 2010 to like I think 18, like basically playing in the minors, how much he made. Spoiler alert, it's not a lot. I get paid more doing nothing than these guys. Like it hardly even pays for expenses.
Well, you say because everything's taken care of too for him though, so it tells allegedly. They have like
benefits, they came out with the food. They came out with that whole food thing. It was like bread, tomato, and lettuce. It was like, eat up.
That was the athletics.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's bring no that fun. That is no fun. So Nick on Facebook says some high school kid is supposed to be the first drafted, according to some mock drafts. This is the thing. Some of those high school kids, then there you got Christian Little, who was drafted first. And then he was like, you know what? I'm going to go play for Vanderbilt. Reason why he's going to go play for Vanderbilt.
Why would you do that? Why would you be drafted?
Because he doesn't want to go, you know. I mean, there's a lot of reasons.
He's doing it to protect his asset. Like, he doesn't think he's ready, maybe.
But maybe he's got some smart people around him.
Or maybe it's unsmart people. That's probably
his decision. Tell me this. Would you rather go to the – because you're not going to start MLB. Like,
but you're going to get –
out of high school, you're not going to go to the – you're not going to go to the show. You're going to go to AAA, AA, something like that. Would you rather be with AAA coach, AA coach, whatever, or Tim Corbin over at Vandy?
I mean, I guess that's the argument. And I don't know enough about baseball to know if that's a good decision or not. I can just say that right off the top. So, I mean, if he did it, he probably had some good advice. But I'm just thinking get paid as early as possible. And if it's guaranteed, if you're a first-round pick, first overall pick, you had to be getting paid good money. Go ahead, Ray.
So let me ask you guys this. Let's say either Leiter or Rocker has a strong like showing this entire World Series. And Vandy ends up winning it. Now, Rocker did struggle in the first inning against Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like he couldn't find a slider. It took him a couple of innings.
Like, he looked like me out there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and then finally, the bat started to get alive a little bit. But let's say if either Rocker or Leiter shows a really strong showing in this entire World Series, will that leapfrog them to that first overall?
No. I mean,
will that be enough or no?
I don't think you could take the individual. I mean, because people say this in college football the same way, that, you know, does a big game in the national championship move their draft stock at all? I think you take the majority of info, which is the regular season, comparatively to the one game that they showed up, you know, or the one or two games that they showed up. Because this is a question every time. This is some kid shows up in the end of whether it's March Madness or the end of the college football playoffs or whoever and has crazy games, and they think, okay, is he going to get moved up? Which arguably did kind of happen to Mac Jones, or at least in the mock drafts, that is, for the NFL. Everybody had Mac Jones all of a sudden now going third, and then, of course, he ended up in real life falling
back.
That
was the most conspiracy-filled thing ever. Like, there was
but
no
right,
way.
He did. Like,
yeah, it just didn't feel right. I don't know. I feel like MLB drafts, like, they're just, like, it's an on. Like, there's no reason for it to be, you know, skewed or
no.
Like, that Mac Jones thing, I still can't even pinpoint how that happened. I was skeptical from you and I both were skeptical.
We were both very skeptical about it. All right, yeah. We need to go ahead and hit a break. Final break of the first hour. Back after this right here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. With this weather moving through our area, use caution and common sense. Just give yourself plenty of extra travel time. That truck was still up against the wall a few minutes ago out there on 40 East near Stewart's Ferry Pike. That's a heavy volume of traffic trying to get out in that area or through that area right now. Headed back towards Wilson County, 500 block of Hickory Hills Boulevard. We did see him working a wreck there a few minutes ago. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. Check them out online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
NASCAR Cup Series racing from Nashville Super Speedway. First time in 37 years. They are back in Music City. Sellout crowd looked amazing. And the story of the race before the winner was brakes. Oh my gosh, so many brake problems. Let's run things down. 10-1, Joey Logano, Eric Jones. Kurt Busch ran out of gas on the final lap. Daniel Suarez, you know, that's Pitbull's car, Mr. Worldwide in attendance. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., number 6. Kevin Harvick in the Monster Jam Gravedigger car at number 5. Eric Almirola was your pole sitter. William Byron, 3. And Ross Chastain was one spot short of the win. To victory lane, it's per usual, right? The season of Kyle Larson continues. Simply amazing. Total domination, leading 264 laps on the day for his fourth win of the season, third win in a row, plus the All-Star win, which doesn't count for points, but just $1 million, plus a bunch of second places this season. 10th career Cup Series win for Kyle, and the number 5 car of Hendrick Motorsports won 37 years ago at Nashville, and now again this weekend. And up next, for the Cup Series, a double shot of Pocono Raceway this coming weekend. Check out all the edge of your seat, three-turned action, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN. And again on Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap. Like us.
So, how can I promote my new curbside pickup service?
It's possible. With Staples Connect,
I need custom floor decals that'll get noticed, not just walked on.
Also possible. Staples Connect can help your business grow with custom printed sales and marketing materials. Now get $10 off signs, banners, or posters when you spend $50 or more. Explore what's new at your local Staples. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. N73, valid in-store and online. Visit staples.com/signage for details.
Today, I'm taking it to the streets to give people the good news. Oh, excuse me. Hello. I'm Flo from Progressive. And did you know?
No, I'm just waiting for the bus.
So then you have time to hear about how with HomeQuote Explorer, you can check if you're paying too much for home insurance.
Yeah, if I was interested in talking to you, which I'm not.
Okay, I'll do the talking and you just check if you can be saving, which is going to be pretty hard to do if you put on your headphones. Okay.
See if you're paying too much for home insurance with HomeQuote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Your experience matters. At University of Phoenix, relevant life experience and eligible transfer credits can help you earn your degree faster and for less. In fact, undergrads who apply these credits, on average, save about 1 year and $11,000. Get the credit you deserve for time spent in the classroom, on the job, and in life. And see how much you can save at phoenix.edu. That's phoenix.edu.
First hour of the Afternoon Stretch coming to a close here. But don't worry, we have a whole second hour, an abbreviated second hour, technically. That's what you have to say in the business term. It's an abbreviated second hour, Bruno.
The business. I do what I want. Business schmizness. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, man. We got, but we got.
Unless Adam tells me to do something, then
I'll play. I was about to say Johnson's will come out and make sure we'll.
Johnson and Johnson looking dudes.
Yeah. 615-844-5600 on the F&M Bank phone line. Whenever you want to jump into it, whole second hour we're going to be talking the NBA playoffs just as a whole. Because
there's a lot to still talk about.
That. I thought Durant hit a three at the end of the game, by the way. I still think a game should not be decided on the millimeter. If he has a size 17 shoe, do they win?
I tell you what, I'm $200 richer.
That's what it all matters at the end of the day.
So I was watching it on the app. I couldn't watch it. I saw it on the app. It put a three, and then it changed it to a two.
So unfortunate. All right, first hour's through. We got a whole second hour back after this right here on the Afternoon Stretch.
WPDQ
Transpro. On air and online, sports radio, WNSR, Brentwood, Nashville.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Senate lawmakers are expected to vote on a voting rights bill tomorrow that is unlikely to get the 60 votes needed to pass. Nevertheless, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says,
it's important to remember that this has been a 60-year battle to make voting more accessible, more available to Americans across the country. And our effort, the president's effort to continue that fight doesn't stop tomorrow.
The Supreme Court upholding a ruling that the NCAA cannot stop colleges and universities from offering student athletes certain educated-related benefits or compensation. A federal judge today siding against three Harvard graduate students who say the university should have at least partially refunded their tuition when the school moved instruction online during the pandemic. And the CDC says 80% of American seniors have gotten at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccination shot, but only 38% of those 18 to 29 have gotten theirs. This is ABC News.
Who have we all had a little trouble social distancing from? Here's a clue. About 6 feet tall, has handles, and is cold inside. That's right, our refrigerators. And our waistlines have suffered. However, Skechers would like to help you get back on track with our incredible Go Walk footwear. Because once you put on Skechers Go Walks, they're so comfortable you'll be inspired to get out there and start walking. Skechers is a comfort technology company, and Go Walks are fully loaded with all the comfort and performance innovations you need. They're incredibly lightweight and breathable with features like air-cooled Goga Mat insoles and bouncy foam bottoms for extra cushioning. And Go Walk footwear come in all the fits you love, like Stretch Fit, Wide Fit, Relaxed Fit, and Arch Fit with podiatrist certified arch support. Plus, you'll look great with so many stylish options to choose from, including easy slip-ons and comfy lace-ups, and they're even machine washable. It's time you distance yourself from that fridge. Get out there and start go walking. Find the number one walking footwear in the world, Skechers Go Walk, for men and women at Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
At Slim Chickens, you and your family are our first priority. In every restaurant, we're working to ensure our food is safe, fresh, and ready when you are. From in-store pickup, curbside service, or now, you can get it delivered right to your door. Just order online or through the Slim's app. We're here for you, and we're ready to serve. Download the Slim Chickens app to order, earn rewards, and get it delivered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and the season of Kyle Larson continues, nabbing his fourth win this season so far at Nashville Super Speedway over the weekend. Oh, man, up next, it's a doubleheader for the NASCAR Cup Series at Pocono. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
We're doing video now. Check us out at youtube.com/TheFinalLap every single weekday right here.
Welcome back to the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
Oh, my God! Okay, it's happening!
It's the afternoon stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Everybody stay calm! Sure. Stay calm!
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600.
You are an unstoppable good idea machine!
Now here's Bruno and Zach.
That's the F&M Bank phone line. Of course, we are coming to you live from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. Zach Williams, Bruno Reagan, Ray Dossey behind the boards. This is the afternoon stretch. Three lines wide open. Anything you want to talk about? Gentlemen, let's get into the NBA playoffs over the weekend. Of course, I know what? Bruno is love-hate right now with talking for the
what
money side.
What a disaster of a product the NBA playoff is right now. Star players hurt. The best players all look terrible. I mean, was there a positive out of the Philly-Atlanta game other than memes? Trey Young, wow. Ice Trey? Yeah, you were cold as ice, buddy. 5 of 23. For a long time, he was 1 of 14. Just absolutely a non-factor. So they had that white guy step up.
Kevin.
Now all there's all the yeah. Go ahead, Ray. But there's
I'm listening.
Oh, are you just stretching?
No. I was gonna ask that for. Like a stat for the day, but I'm waiting for Zach.
We don't have a camera on Ray. We're gonna eventually get a camera on Ray. But he's over there doing like the good morning pose or something.
Now I've got a stat of the day, and I'm gonna ask you guys a question, a little trivia question. See if you guys get it after Bruno's done. Please, Bruno, finish.
Yeah. Shaq said it best when it comes to Simmons. What are you doing, bro? Shaq's like, I would have gone up and said something to him. In the fourth quarter of every game in the series, he scored maybe three total field goals. Like, the dude is absolutely a non-factor. Yeah. Yeah. There was that. He's getting clowned a lot because there's this clip where he's runs up, has the open lane for the layup, and just passes it off. And then the guy is just, it just doesn't make sense, man. I mean, it's like he's trying not to win. Embiid, I mean, he played well, just couldn't finish it off. I mean, he had a few like bad shots at the end of the game. It's not the reason they lost. Other than that, it's who is like fending off the injury bug and who is playing the least worst right now is what it feels like. I mean, Suns look good. That's about all I can tell you right now.
Suns and four.
Suns look good. Suns and four.
I'll tell you who's the most mad. And they're just praying the Clippers keep going forward is the NBA. Because you're looking at a possible Milwaukee Suns final or a Hawks Suns final. That is not fun for ratings, that is.
So let me ask you guys this. Of the four teams, you just named them right now, Zach.
Uh-huh. Clippers, Suns, Milwaukee, Hawks.
Of those four teams, who's won an NBA title since the 71 merger?
Who hasn't?
Who has?
Who has? Don't tell me. Ooh.
Hadn't been the Suns. The Suns hadn't won ever because that was the big thing with the Last Dance with Charles Barkley because he was MVP that year that they thought they were going to win finally. So I'm good on that. Wasn't the Suns? This is the worst way to answer any cutting. It wasn't that, right?
It was Milwaukee.
Since 71?
It was Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm going to go Milwaukee too. Okay, then it's LA. Can't be Atlanta. Atlanta, none of them have.
None of them have.
Okay, I knew none of them.
I'm going home. This show sucks.
No, I knew it wasn't any of them. I was sitting there thinking, I was like, I don't think any of them. I'm guessing if one has, but no.
I'm not going to allow you any more trivia. This is what we're going to devolve to. Ray, that was good. I thought that was funny.
No, honestly. Made us look like fools.
No, there'll be a first-time winner coming out this NBA season.
Oh, my God.
This playoff
Who needs, what city needs it more?
Atlanta doesn't deserve it. They need to suffer longer.
Atlanta just, they, LA, the Georgia Clippers, as a whole, just lose and lose
the
and
Clippers,
lose.
The Clippers, I'm not big on them.
I think LA has too many fans.
I think Milwaukee out of everyone, because I think that,
but the Suns,
it's because of Giannis, I think, is because of that. Because they feel like if they get, it might be a make or break if they don't
but
win
they
one.
Have, they have the Packers, you know what I mean? Like, so like, it's not like they have, that city hasn't seen winning.
Okay, so
I'm saying city. What city needs that?
That
win?
Would be funny if like Milwaukee's just a sports capital of America, like yes. Milwaukee.
Well, it's Green like Tampa Bay. Bay. Think yeah. about Tampa Bay recently.
Okay, but Tampa Bay is cool.
it smells bad.
What four? Okay, so what four teams do you think needs it the most? I mean, because they all have like good football teams. I mean, do you think
Atlanta needs it the most? Atlanta's just been trashed and stepped on. And
I was going to say Phoenix. I think Phoenix needs the most.
They got Arizona.
Arizona sucked for a long time.
Arizona looks good now.
Now.
Arizona is also an awesome state to live in. Arizona's dope.
But they still didn't make the playoffs. The city needs it. Phoenix needs it.
Is it the Diamondbacks who've lost like 26 straight?
Yeah, the Diamondbacks are not solid. They're not, that's not helping anybody's case for them. Not at all. Well, this is something that came up. It always happens. It always happens. It's overreactive. And I semi-quasi made it our question of the day without really asking it. But question of the day, if you want, into the second hour we go. Have you ever burned a jersey? Have you ever burned a jersey? Because I have seen numerous videos of Ben Simmons jerseys being burned.
No, I talk to women who are more attractive on the scale of a 6. So I do not burn jerseys. I do not. Wear jerseys out, and guys, I'm just joking. If you wear a jersey out, like, it's not that big of a deal.
Hold but burn it. Are you against the wearing of jerseys?
No, I did that as a joke. Like, that's why okay. I immediately, because I don't want people to think I'm actually pressed on them for wearing. If you wear a jersey,
I'm wearing a Vandy baseball jersey.
If you're
right
a grown man and you're wearing an Albert Pujols jersey, that's dope. Albert Pujols is dope. All right, but if you're burning jerseys, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you calling to the show. I don't want to know you. That is the most...
I'd love actually to know if somebody... I'd love a reasoning behind why they burned a jersey. Like, I'd love you to call in and tell me why you
like
burned a jersey.
Like, if someone betrayed America and defected... If Ben Simmons defected to ISIS and you burned his jersey, that would be okay. If LeBron leaves your favorite team and you burn the jerseys, you're probably 15, which I've done stupid things at 15 too. I do stupid things.
No, these
now.
Were grown men that were burning these
yeah,
jerseys.
Yeah, that's
by
what
the
I'm
way.
Saying. I remember.
If LeBron, I was going to
I remember
that.
The one that always pops up in my head is this guy who, like, I think it was a Steelers jersey or something. And he was
probably Antonio Brown, maybe.
Yeah, it was something about. Oh yeah, it was like his Steelers jersey because the Steelers, except for the guy who served the tackle, Vavuzella or whatever.
Oh yeah,
he ran out of the tunnel. He ran out of the tunnel, put his hand, which is not a big team move, but he did it. That's his, you know, his right to do it. And the rest of the team stayed in the tunnel because of all the controversy going on. Well, this guy was like, he had to go out there and make a stand in front. And he starts burning all of his Pittsburgh jerseys, burns his Pittsburgh stuff, burns his season tickets. It's just like, man,
it's a bit much.
Well, they don't care. Like, well, if you're gonna martyr all your stuff, like, I get it. You're not gonna financially support it, but
see, that's the problem. They already financially supported it because they bought the jersey.
Oh yeah, you've contributed.
I saw people that were like, they're against Nike for whatever political reason. I don't want to get into
that's
the political
stupid.
Reason.
Nike makes way too good.
But they go and buy Nike shoes to burn. What the hell?
Nike doesn't care. They're like, thank you. Cha-ching.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's such a weird thing.
It costs Nike it. 99 cents to make one of those shoes.
So you can do whatever you want with it.
Do you think it's fair that Phillies fans burn Ben Simmons' jersey?
No. He sucks. Make fun of him on social media. Don't burn your jersey. That's stupid.
That's so original now.
it is unoriginal.
It's so like everyone just kind of like, you know what jersey I did not see, I think one fan not do burn was Tom Brady's jersey.
Of course not. Yeah. He would like.
No, you can't burn.
He's the most dominant runner in football.
As a Patriots fan, I mean, you would think that like, oh, it's Patriots or nothing.
Nah, if you're a Patriots fan, you understand what's going on there.
You're, if you're Patriot, screw the Patriots. They were like Tom Brady. Like when the second he comes back to Foxborough, they're gonna be like, we love you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all building up that week. I think it's week 3 that they're gonna play.
Return.
Yeah, the return
tickets
game.
Are like over $1,000 each.
They're gonna make that a honoring event. That's not gonna be a hatred because the Patriots don't pay their players a lot of money, and that's what Tom Brady. He just wanted to finally have a giant contract.
Yeah,
that was all he wanted, and the Patriots just aren't gonna do that. Let's see. Nick on Facebook says, what's more likely, Simmons or Dame to the Lakers? If whoever doesn't... Hold on, let me finish, guys. Hold on, let me finish. What's more likely, Simmons or Dame to the Lakers? If whoever doesn't go to L.A., where do they go?
All right, so Dame's going to the Lakers. LeBron is not letting Simmons come to the Lakers. So Dame goes there. Where does Simmons go?
I like him in Miami.
China? I saw a bunch of people were like giving Dame like Shanghai, Chinese jerseys.
The Shanghai team, yeah. You think Miami, right?
I like him in Miami.
He's a good player.
Well, it's weird because when LSU, correct? He came out of LSU, he was a monster. Just the transition to the NBA has not been easy.
I saw a
for
good
him.
Tweet. If they didn't have basketball goals, he would be the best player in the NBA. Like, if they did not have scoring, Ben Simmons is the best player on the court. But they have the hoops, and you have to put the ball in it, so he's not. Yeah,
he's got work to do, especially around, like, I mean, he showed talent, especially on the defensive side. Like, he either plays a shooting forward or he plays a point guard.
Yeah.
At 6'11", you know?
Yeah.
So he's got to put some work in this summer to kind of get his free throws in, develop some type of jump shot.
Would you consider him a big man? See, I remember this argument years ago. You wouldn't consider him a big man?
No, you have to play like a... That's like an earned title through play.
He doesn't have that, like, that aggression to play a big man. Like that... like, you know, like, I'm taking over the boards and stuff. He doesn't play with that moxie, you know? Like,
he runs into the lane to lay it up, and then he passes it
out. He's very hesitant in his shots, and he looks confused at times, and sometimes...
Big man is a mentality. He's not a big man mentality.
Yeah, he doesn't have that, and he feels like at times, like, he doesn't have that confidence. I don't see confidence in him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's first year of a new contract, and that's what you showed up? Dude, that was a massive pickle that you just put out in this series. Like, I mean, he's got a lot to work on. I mean, I don't know what Philly's going to do. I mean, that's a big contract.
Well, you've been really against Atlanta because you think they've been playing
I think
over
they've overachieved.
Their talent. Yeah, you think they're overachieved.
I think they've overachieved.
They are. They're, put it on my grave. Atlanta is not going to win this NBA final.
Trae Young's out. What does Atlanta have?
They didn't need him for. They did unless they play against Philly again. They're not winning those type of games, right? Like,
they have a champion's mentality.
I'm hearing. I mean,
that's everything but good basketball play.
Do they take Milwaukee to six games?
No.
I think
Holiday will be able to guard Ice Trey. I don't think he'll have a problem with him. I think Atlanta's gonna have a big problem trying to guard Giannis.
Milwaukee's gonna be fresh going into this final. They're gonna run through Atlanta, and Milwaukee's gonna play the Suns.
I gotta get my Cream City jersey like now. When's too late to get on the train? I'm hopping on the train.
I think it was a
couple weeks ago.
Game two against the Nets.
So what? Now let's talk about that series, Milwaukee and Nets.
Can I say a few words?
Go ahead.
Please.
Kevin Durant.
I feel like you should play
James
some music.
Harden. Go home. I'm tired of seeing you, dude. I hate you.
I should play some.
Not a personal music. Level, but God, I can't stand you, James Harden. Anyways, Kevin Durant, I have given you a ton of crap. And then I praise you. I called you the savior. This is now a Kevin Durant stan account for my Twitter. And then you lose the game on the air ball. Kevin Durant, you were on a quote-unquote super team. That was not a super team you were playing with. You willed that team to the very end of that series, and you need to be applauded for your effort. That was watching Kevin Durant play in the last two games of that series was unreal. Mm-hmm. He looked like the best player in basketball.
Ever.
And Giannis said the same thing. He was like, that is the best player in the game right now. How awful the rest of the Nets looked was absurd. Kevin Durant, like, what's he going to... Are they going to stay together and, you know, try and run it back next season?
I mean, I think so. Because if health didn't play a factor, like, if you had a fully healthy James Harden, series probably goes a lot differently.
Show up in the season in shape. Stop going to strip clubs.
If you had Kyrie Irving healthy in the series,
that's
a whole different series.
If James Harden makes more than five baskets and not go for those stupid... watching him just try to flop for free throws in the playoff is just so pathetic.
Well, it's kind of... what he's doing right now, he had to do that right now. He just didn't have that same bounce that he normally has because of his injury.
Do you guys think they were that injured? I really felt like they were trying to wing it through the playoffs.
Like, it does seem like it. They were piecing together.
We just need to... We know we're better than most of these teams, and
they
overlooked them, and they're like, we have a Harden and Durant led team, we're good.
Once you get to that game seven, there's no you know it's all bets are off. You gotta throw the house at them.
Well, look at the path now. I mean, the path is there. Like, if it was the Nets there, we would always say the Nets are the favorite.
It would be absurd. Yeah, they would run through the Hawks.
They are 3 inches away from basically getting their finals. If Durant hits a three there, that's it. That's where it all goes. They're in the world now of Tennessee Titans football, where they had a chance. Kevin Dyson outstretching for the touchdown, just missed it by a yard. Well,
but that
Kevin Durant just missed it by a couple inches.
That was an instant classic where two teams just played really well,
right,
like all around, and one team was the better team. The Nets looked. Kevin Durant was playing with the Cavaliers or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is not a super team.
It looked like LeBron with the Cavaliers.
This is what it looked like. Kevin Durant, he deserves respect, man. That guy is committed to his craft.
So this has changed the way you look at him now. Because you were really off on him.
It's crazy how losing a series and watching how you respond to being asked to be the guy on a super team, you're the leader. And then it looks like how you respond to adversity is huge to me. And I mean, the dude's as good as they come. I do like super team culture, stupid, but at the end of the day, it's always what have you done for me recently? And Kevin Durant has earned my respect recently for the way he was just putting it all out there. James Harden's just such a joke. Cause I know the dude's just out there on the offseason. He knows he's extremely talented. He works hard when the season comes around. That's how I was. I work hard when the time comes to work hard. I wasn't committed enough in the offseason to be the top guy.
Mm.
So I can understand James Harden. But at the same time, like, if you're going to go to these teams and claim to be looking for a championship, you know,
you got to
do your part.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, he was injured. I mean, that was clear.
He was injured.
This was not James. This was James Harden. What would you say? I would say 70% James Harden, maybe. Maybe even less. I'd even argue maybe a little less.
I think even with a 70 or 80% James Harden, you still have a clear cut advantage over Milwaukee or Middleton or whoever.
It wasn't 70% James Harden. The dude was not. He was a 20% James Harden.
Yeah.
He was a non-factor.
It was tough. It was tough to see him lose that way. But I mean, do you think this is going to be a fun finals?
Let me ask you guys this: who are your finals picks?
Milwaukee and the Suns are going to be in the finals, and it's going to be a fun finals.
Okay.
Two teams we haven't seen. Two teams we didn't think going into it. It's going to be extremely fun. I think it's going to surprise everybody. Everyone's going to be like, dang, this is pretty hype.
This would be, if that happens, that would be Chris Paul's first finals, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
He hasn't gone out of the, made it past the conference finals. I think this is his first conference final, honestly.
Maybe.
I don't think he's ever been to like a Western or Eastern conference final. Like, I think this is his first one ever. What about you, Zach? What do you got?
Man, if Kawhi was there, I would say Clippers, yes. But that's just not going to happen.
Is there still like doubts about him even being available for the series?
Well, I think even if he is available, you're going to see what we saw with James Harden. It's just not the same guy out there. He's going to be out there. It's going to be more of a distraction.
To Kawhi's credit, like, this isn't a bad thing at the end all be all, but he seems like a me guy. And if it's an injury that's going to cost him a career or a potential, like, more time on his career, he's just going to sit out.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, I don't blame him either.
I don't blame him at all. Make sure you future-proof yourself.
I think the Clippers are, like, you know, they're better than the Hawks right now. Congrats, you know.
Yeah, I think it's Milwaukee Suns. I think I'm on board with that as well. Is that the most fun that it could be? I don't think so. I mean, it could be fun to watch it, but there's nobody that, you know, there's no real star power there that's going to hook me in, right? Other than the Greek Freak that I'm going to want to watch. But outside of that, you know, I don't feel anything that, I don't know. Nobody wants to see the Hawks go into the finals.
I was tired. I don't know. I was tired of seeing LeBron versus Super Team.
Right.
I mean, that's what we all thought, right?
Yeah, you need at least 4 Hall of Famers to beat them. Well, I mean, not this year, but
was a Nets Lakers matchup like on everyone's mind coming into the final?
Absolutely.
No, now we're going to watch the two best teams in basketball play right now. It's these two teams.
Yeah.
Bailey Grainer on Facebook says, yo, and then said, gave him 5 championships, talking about Tom Brady earlier. We need to go ahead and hit a break. Remember, you can always jump in on the phone, 615-844-5600 on the F&M Bank phone line. And also, just like Bailey there, you could say, hey, on the Facebook Live there for Premier Fitness Source video feed that we have there on Facebook Live on Nashville Sports Radio. Always taking your comments, questions, concerns, anywhere you want. Back after this right here on the Afternoon Stretch.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
DQ presents, picture this. Picture the Girl Scout Thin Mints Blizzard. You see two iconic treats blending together in a mesmerizing swirl of pieces of Thin Mints cookies, Cool Mint and world-famous DQ Soft Serve. You smile the biggest smile you've ever smiled. It's a double smile because your two favorites, DQ and Girl Scout Thin Mints, are together in one delicious treat. And the only reason you stop smiling is so you can start eating. The Girl Scout Thin Mints Blizzard, exclusively at DQ. Get it delivered at DQ.com. DQ. Happy tastes good.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Terry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
That is the F&M Bank phone line. We are inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios here on Nashville Sports Radio. Zach Williams, Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky behind the boards. So little news that just kind of came out within like the last 10 minutes or so. Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib is the NFL's first active openly gay player in the league.
That's good, man. Being a pro athlete is stressful enough, and the fact that you have to hide like such a big part of who you are out of fear of getting, you know, just clowned for it. I'm glad we're at a place. And the only people I've seen criticizing it are like, you know, the burner accounts on Twitter.
Right. The ones no photo, or they have like an avatar like they're in their avatar.
I have such little respect for burner accounts. So, I mean, the locker room's ready for it nowadays. We were talking about it for a second off air, but he probably told some people on the teams that he played with that he trusted, and a lot of them probably knew, and most, I mean, it's just not even that big of a deal anymore. So the fact that he came out, hopefully it just allows the other people to come out, and, you know, because
there are.
Yeah, there are.
He's not alone. He's just not
open. They're among us. You know, it's not that big of a deal.
No, it's not.
So they'll live life. Being a pro athlete is extremely stressful, and then having to hide the fact that you're gay, which is, if you were 30 years ago, you're hiding the fact that you're gay out of fear of persecution. So
right.
So the fact that we've made it to here now, it's because the guy's a good player too. So if you don't know him, he was on the Browns Hard Knocks. He was the tall, white, buff guy giving stock tips and talking about money to Myles Garrett. So
yeah.
Since Miles wanted to sign that $30 million contract,
I just a a fair question, just kind of, not so much playing devil's advocate, just kind of a fair question is, do you think this kind of attention messes up the locker room at all?
No. No, it's. I don't think it's a dumb question either. I think it's a legit question that some people want to ask.
This is the first time this has happened. Yeah. I think that because it's the there should be some sort of, you know, topic discussed about it.
Yeah, I played with a gay... I mean, there was a gay person in our locker room at Vanderbilt. Nobody cared.
It wasn't open?
He wasn't open, but he told us.
Yeah, he wasn't
open to the public. But told us, we knew. We didn't care. Yeah. We literally did not. Like, people, like... You know how you can say you don't care, and then you'll talk behind the scenes and be like, "Ah, oh, that guy, you know." No one ever said anything like that.
Right. Simply it just really did didn't matter. Care. Because honestly, who cares? Why doesn't affect any way that he runs.
I got way too much in my life going. I was trying to survive Vanderbilt. So
all of you were.
Yeah, couldn't let little things get to you.
Yeah, you know, it's just something that came out. I figured, why not, you know, go ahead and talk about it. It's the first one in NFL history to ever come out and
be active.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are like, what about Michaels? And didn't play, so.
It takes a lot of guts to do that, too. So, congrats to Carl. Ally 400 happened this weekend here in Nashville, over at Nashville Super Speedway.
Wow!
Man.
Bummed, huh?
Bummed. Bummed is the key word. I want to know, did anybody else get caught in the traffic? Was I alone? No, I wasn't, because I saw 4,000 other cars. It was so bad. The Ally 400 getting to it this Sunday was so bad, they delayed the race. Can you imagine the NFL delaying kickoff?
Would never
because the fans couldn't get in?
Would never happen.
Would never happen. How? It was the first NASCAR event in, what was it, since the late 70s, early 80s, somewhere in that range? And they couldn't get the traffic pattern down. What an absolute
travesty.
For real. This is the first one. You have all this to plan. I'm telling you, it didn't matter if you were on 840 or you were on 230. Where were you taking? It was backed up bumper to bumper and was not moving. It was not moving in one way or another. It was so bad. I sat in traffic for 2.5 hours, turned around and left.
You know what people in LA and New York call that? Monday. Oh, Monday through Friday.
Bingo.
That was one of the worst things I've ever seen. And you talk about just a debacle. I mean, there was no... And then it's in Lebanon. It's because that's, by the way, not in Nashville. It's in Lebanon.
Not the country either.
Lebanon. You know what else isn't there? Cell phone service. So you go to reroute to try to find a new way to go. I can't find it. No cell phone service over there.
I'm glad you liked that one.
Ray really enjoyed that one.
That was funny.
You got him with the Lebanon joke. That was a good one.
It's just the balls of tennis, and this is a Tom Segura skit. You know, I didn't, but I'm influenced by that. But the balls in Tennessee to name a place Paris, or, you know, there's just so many names in Tennessee where it's just like, stop it.
I can't believe it. I could not believe how bad the traffic was. And for it to be actually delayed made me feel good. That was like, okay, I wasn't just the only one. I'm telling you, it was taking, the traffic was trying to take, like, my phone was trying to take me down these little back roads. You'd wait almost 30 minutes on this one road to go to a spot, and you'd see all these people turning around and coming back. You'd get down there, and they wouldn't let you turn left. I lost my mind. I almost became Ray in traffic. I almost had road rage.
Where's this rage coming from?
I don't know where. Well, like, it came from traffic yesterday.
No, with me. Like, I have no rage. I'm a sweetheart, man.
It's a bit, Ray. We're having fun at your expense.
Everyone likes your rage.
Now the bit's ruined because we mentioned it's a bit.
No, but I do have rage.
You gotta love it. You got current events for us today?
Yeah.
What do you got for us on the current events side, Ray? Oh, boy. Of course, remember, just real quick to everybody out there, Vanderbilt will play at 5:45. So our show, we're kind of just winding down the end of the show here. So that's what we do. We pull up Ray for the end of the show just to let him.
So apparently today the Supreme Court made a ruling that NC2A says it's illegal to prevent students from making money.
Mm. Oh, Mikey, yeah. They already get scholarships. What the heck? Why are they allowed to make money? I hate everybody. Dude, that's the first response people are like, man, we should just take away scholarships. You really? Brad, you live every day for college football. You live for it. You want to take away their scholarships? You're such an idiot. If you think like that, you are literally an idiot. You think it costs the schools like anything? It's if you're at a private school, donors pay for it. If you're at a public school, the taxpayer pays for it. And the taxpayer already pays for enough dumb stuff. Let's like it makes sense that your players get an education. You're telling me Johnny Man's like they're gonna make their money anyways. We're just making it legal.
Well, let me ask you this: could it take away a little bit from the scholarship of players that you know? Like, let's just say Trevor Lawrence. Could the school be like, we can afford a little less of his scholarship, what he gets, because we know he's about to rake in a Nike deal worth, you know, millions of dollars?
Can you explain a little bit more? I'm a little slow.
I'm trying to say, like, could they scale back some of the scholarships to the mega rich players that are gonna come out of college football now, which is gonna happen. You're gonna have if Tebow played in this new world, it good was luck, coming.
I mean, selling his jerseys, making the money off that. But, I guess you could, but good luck and explain to Trevor Lawrence. Hey, you're super rich, so we're just gonna make you pay tuition. All right, I'm gonna go to a school that doesn't make me pay tuition. Cool.
Well, yeah,
yeah. True. I saw that exact same argument under Jeff Schwartz tweet about it. Someone was like, "Why don't they just do this?" And the only reply was, "Yeah, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. They're gonna go to a school that pays for the scholarship, and then they're gonna rank in the dough." It's simple. If they generate a lot, they're going to have... It's not like they're going to get paid by the school, you numbnut. They're just going to have avenues to earn advertising or stuff like that. That's it.
Yeah.
They're going to get to profit off their name and likeness.
Well, what kills me, too, is that everybody has this idea that it's only going to be the Trevor Lawrences of the world that are going to be able to get this. That's not true. What it's going to do now is the local, like Chattanooga, not a big school at all. Not doesn't have a lot of rich history in football. But those players now, who are known in the community, are going to be able to go to blankety blank's car dealership and do a TV commercial and make $5,000 or whatever that they wouldn't make any other time that would have been allowed.
Yeah, you get $1,000 spending money from Vanderbilt a semester, like to live. You're just like, oh,
that's your salary, if you will. Yeah, that they hand out. It's a stipend, really.
Degree was $200,000. Like, well. I'd sell it for $5,000 right now. I would sell my degree. I actually wouldn't do that.
I was like, I know you wouldn't do that.
But it's just like, I don't know. It's not that big.
It's not like it cost Vanderbilt $200,000, though.
No, it didn't.
It doesn't cost Vanderbilt. That's the part that people get so messed up. Yeah,
the tuition they enforce themselves, they're losing money on that. No, they're not. They're just letting a fat Hispanic kid in. Like, yeah. That's literally it. Like, I just get to take your classes. It's not like you're losing that spot. No, you just created an extra spot for a football
player.
They
added a desk to the back of the room. That's all they did. They added a desk to the back of the room. I don't understand.
I think people make 60 grand a year or probably less, and they're upset that some 18-year-old is really good at sports and they're going to make more. I think that's it.
Well, I think it's a lot of it. It's been a way for so long, and once we talk about this all the time. You have the purists that say it's been this way forever. It doesn't need to change. And then they think, well, now the greed is going to get set into college football because it was a pure sport, which we know for a fact is not true.
Yeah, it's
it is not a pure sport.
It's not a pure sport at all. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Exactly.
It's a multi-billion-dollar industry right now that just doesn't pay the athletes. That's it.
That's all it is. Let's go to the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600. Bailey in Orlando, Florida.
Bailey, tell me what you're thinking.
Dude, I'm just listening to your dialogue about, you know, what's going on with that stuff. And I agree with you, Bruno. I really think that, you know, these guys are going to go and they generate so much money for these schools. Just with, you know, their performance on the field, you know? So they're going to go there, and I think it's going to create kids going to bigger markets, too. I think Alabama might lose kids because the market in Tuscaloosa is not as big as it might be at a UCF.
Oh, imagine that, like a big Orlando donor, because you're a UCF guy, played at Vanderbilt and UCF. Imagine that. Big-time guy going from Alabama to UCF because Orlando Magic Man gives them, you know, a lot of money. That'd be dope.
Yeah, I think the same thing with Vandy, you know. I mean, obviously Vandy's a different place, but Nashville, Tennessee is a huge market.
Dude, they got money. They got money. They could spend it if they wanted to.
I think it draws more kids than, you know, Starkville or Knoxville or Tuscaloosa or some of these other, you know, bigger programs that, you know, draw these kids because of program history. But, you know, these kids are going to start wising up because, obviously, like, college football doesn't last forever. And I think kids are getting more enlightened about it. But I do worry about the game a little bit just because, like, I don't know, it's something that I loved, and I guess I don't want it to totally be monetized.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like...
But see, isn't it already, though? I know I cut you off, but it's already monetized. It's just one group getting it.
It's entirely monetized, and the only, like, it's just the NCAA makes the money.
Right.
You know?
The players aren't going to play any differently. Or let me ask y'all both that, because y'all are former players. Do you think the players that are... Yeah, once again, I'm going to say Trevor Lawrence, that kind of caliber that's going to be getting the most money. Are you going to, do you think they're going to play differently, or they're going to play better or worse? What do you think?
Oh, they'll play better. They'll be able to afford food. That's let's imagine Trevor Lawrence doesn't come from, you know, I don't know Trevor Lawrence's exact background. I imagine he had a house and parents that could probably afford him money. Me and Bailey played with a lot of kids that $1,000 was all they lived on. You know, they weren't going to get bigger than 170 pounds. And then they get to the NFL and it's just like, boop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It could be an investment into themselves.
Yeah, well, I think though with money can create problems as much as it can create solutions.
Oh,
right?
More money, more problems, Bailey. You know that.
So, I mean, you know, I think it could potentially get guys in, you know, some weird situations, you know, but honestly, I truly believe that there's some of it that goes on in our game today already that's been going on for a long time. And maybe it's just going to get rid of, you know, the under the table stuff, and it's going to create a little bit more of a safe, a little bit more of a regulated environment for college athletes.
Yeah, and there's a lot of micro arguments to be made against as well as in favor. Like, there are legitimate against, but my just basic fundamental argument that I can't stand is that someone's getting paid for it, and it's not the thousands of athletes. Even if it was like 3 to 4 athletes, if they are the asset that's generating all the revenue, and it's only going up and up and up, they should be obligated to some of that paycheck. You can't just make a rule and say, "Ha ha, you can't get paid."
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Bailey. We appreciate it, man.
That was the most Bailey ending to a call I've ever heard.
I didn't know what
to say. Oh, no, you're good, buddy. You're good. I thought Bailey, maybe you had a retort there.
Bailey, I love it. That's all you have to say. Mic drop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, man. I was just, I was interesting if you guys had a reaction to the report about NASA that came out, though, just recently.
Yeah, we just talked about it there for a second ago.
Let's get your thoughts, because we just mentioned it. I mean, I said it was not that big of a deal. What about you, Bailey? You played in the locker room.
I just don't care. I mean, honestly, it's his life, you know? What right do we have to really alter that, you know? Like, and if you're uncomfortable with someone that is attracted to the same sex, then, like, what does that make you? You know, are you not so secure in your sexuality? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think this generation, and I say that because I think we're all about the same age, this generation really understands that why do I care? Why do I care that that's happening to
you?
Well,
me and Bailey had other issues, like people parking on our front lawn, you know? Stop it. Like, I couldn't care. I didn't have time to care.
That's different. See, it involved you. The other stuff doesn't involve you, right? Yeah. So you just don't, like, why does anyone want to care? It's great that it happened now, but once again, it's going to become so normal that this isn't news, right? That's the end goal, that this isn't news.
Yeah, no, it's just, I don't know, right now, anything... You know, in that area is just blowing up because of, you know, it's Gay Pride Month. So, like,
right.
That's just what's going to blow up right now, you know?
Yeah.
Some people are worried maybe they're going to have...
culturally aware of.
Yeah, some people are, like, at least the burner accounts are like, oh, they're going to start offering, like, you know, pluses to contracts for being gay. Like, just, you know, joking around, thinking that this is some kind of big conspiracy to make people...
Publicity stunt?
Yeah, it's just the dude just
it's not.
Talking about his experience.
Exactly. Hey, Bailey, I appreciate the call, man. Call us back in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do. You guys have a great night.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Let's go ahead and run to we're getting a little long in the teeth here, so we'll just actually coast this out to the start of Vanderbilt baseball. Vanderbilt, of course, going up against NC State at 5:45 is when you'll be able to hear that. We're not done yet, Bruno. We're going to keep it going here.
Oh, you said coast it out.
We're going to coast it out. We're just me and you going to be talking here. Remember, if somebody wants to jump in for the last few moments, 615-844-5600 on the F&M Bank phone line. The pay-for-play, though, or not pay-for-play, but the college football situation right now for the athletes, I think is going to be more beneficial.
It's not just football. It's all sports.
Man. All sports, Football's the first one I'm going to, but I think it's going to be... I think it's going to be so much more beneficial for guys that can, if done right. I wonder, though, if they start getting into the world of agents and that slime bucket of what it is with money, how it goes.
I mean, agents already call you while you're in college. It's not like even
exactly. I wonder though if that does how much different things are going to get older. What are your thoughts on it, Ray? You're the one who asked the question.
I think every person has a right to make as much money if it's their liking. Oh,
everybody. You know? No, I agree. I think I kind of see where you're going. That it is, everybody does have that right to make money, and that it should be done. And it's not fair that the players aren't making the money.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's going to be a challenge for coaches, like college coaches as opposed to the pro coaches that,
No, coaches aren't going to be total dominatrix against their players. That players will have a little bit of leverage. You know how many times coaches just, coaches are humans too. Sometimes they target players, they abuse them. I mean, this gives options. Yeah. Hey, we're both professionals now.
Right.
We both generate the money, big dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are a lot of times early in my college career where I was even scared to talk back to a coach. When I was a pro, it was all I ever did.
But now you're like on an even playing field now, right? Almost. Yeah. So
well, it's going to be a few of them are going to be on even playing fields. Right.
But the players will always be for the players. They'll never, coach is right, guys. Like Trevor Lawrence isn't going to go to the locker room and be like, hey, coach is right. And we need, players.
He will if Nike tells him to.
Maybe. And then his players will just sacrifice him in the middle of the Clemson Tiger logo.
I just don't see the downside of it. That's the thing that gets me is I don't understand where people are getting the downside of
it. We live in a downside. Players make nothing. That is, I feel like that I have that perspective. We live in the downside.
You brought up a really good point of how the fan who's fighting for it is the fan that lives and breathes college football 365. Every day, every year. That's all they talk about and all they care about. But then the second now the thing that they like starts making money, the player that they like starts making money, that's where the wrong stepped in. It makes no sense to
me.
And
they can't create a union. So, or can they?
Well,
No, they can't. You're not going to get a union.
Yeah, right? You can't create a union like they do in the pro sports.
This is a step towards it, though.
Yeah.
This is definitely a step towards it now.
Very, 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 very small step. I don't ever see college football having a union. It's just too young, too naive, You don't. They can't organize like that. It's just never going to happen, I don't think.
Maybe not. There's something that has to be there, though. I think you just look and see with college football and just college athletics in general that people not making the money from what they produce, the amount of jersey sales and all this thing. I go back to college football just because it makes the money. But just the amount of money that it's produced, you cannot tell me that the NCAA can't figure that out. That's insane to me. That's insane. Vandy baseball coming up next.